A perfect place for perfect radio. This is the station where your friends are. AM 1220, KJAN Atlantic.
KJAN Radio Atlantic.
At 9:05, it's cloudy. Just a few lingering sprinkles out there. We picked up an additional 0.02 of an inch of rainfall since 7 a.m. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Donations of household items or clothing are still being accepted for a rural Guthrie Center family who lost their home and a family pet earlier this month. The fire destroyed the Ron and Lisa Benedict residence, located about 11 miles west of Guthrie Center. The blaze began sometime between 7 and 8:45 p.m. June the 10th, when a bolt of lightning entered the home through wiring while the family was shopping here in Atlantic. Lisa Benedict told the Guthrie Center Times they received a text message from a friend at around 8:45 that evening saying their house was on fire. Guthrie Center Fire Chief Doug Kent told the paper when the family arrived home, literally all they had left was their vehicle and the groceries they'd just bought. Lisa Benedict said the lightning blew up the electrical box and shattered the concrete next to it. The family's dog, Shooter, a Boston Terrier Beagle mix, died in the ensuing blaze. Also damaged were three pickups, which were parked close to the house. The family was reportedly living on their property in a camper following the fire. If you'd like to help donate some household items or clothing, you can contact Estelle and Marva Lee Sharon at 641-332-2777. Two more Missouri River flood records have been broken in southeastern Nebraska, and more records are likely to fall because of the amount of water being released upstream is increasing. The National Weather Service said records from 1993 were surpassed Tuesday at Plattsmouth and Nebraska City. Last weekend, Brownville also set a record. The Army Corps of Engineers is increasing the amount of water released from Gavin's Point Dam in South Dakota this week, so the river will rise even more in Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri. The Corps estimates the river will rise as much as a foot over its already high levels at Sioux City. The river will rise about 3 to 5 inches from Omaha to Rulo, Nebraska, and it will surge about 8 inches higher at Kansas City. Jail inmates have been filling sandbags to help boost protection for the Plattsmouth City Water Treatment Plant that's surrounded by Missouri River floodwater. The river could rise even higher, but city officials say that the water supply is safe for now. City Inspector Kevin Larson said officials are cautiously optimistic that the work will pay off. The sandbags have to be hauled by boat to the stranded plant. Plattsmouth sits about 17 miles south of Omaha. Concerns in Nebraska and Iowa about Missouri River flooding remain high as the water is released from more dams upstream from late spring storms bring more rain. Plattsmouth officials say that if their efforts fail and the floodwater gets into the plant, the city can be supplied by nearby water districts. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley has meetings this week with the top leaders of two federal entities which have been heavily criticized for their involvement in various natural disasters, FEMA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Grassley is scheduled to sit down today with Craig Fugate, a chief administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Grassley says his meeting with Fugate will focus on the availability of FEMA funds for those affected by the Missouri River flooding.
FEMA treats Mississippi River floods the same as Missouri River floods, floods the same as earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. It's just a question, will the money be available, and then how is it administered?
While FEMA has been blasted for its Gulf Coast response to Hurricane Katrina in 2005, Grassley says significant changes have been made in the agency's playbook since then.
Every natural disaster, you're going to have some people that aren't treated exactly right. But it's not because of the basic law, or it's not from the money, it's probably some sort of bureaucratic bungling. But since Katrina, I have not seen that a pattern of bungling, more bungling when it comes to an individual here and there.
The Corps of Engineers is also being singled out by some who say more should have been done to prevent the Missouri River's current flooding. The Corps was tasked with setting up flood control systems on the river, including five dams, under the Pick-Sloan Missouri Basin program created by the Flood Control Act of 1944. In the decades since that time, Grassley says the focus has shifted, and the Corps is now only involved in flood control 16% of the time. The new emphasis is on more things like recreational boating, environmental preservation, and saving endangered species.
And so we got to get back to the original purpose of Pick-Sloan, the original purpose of the dams. There's no reason we would have to have all of this flooding that we have if the dams had been handled right.
Grassley will be meeting today with Brigadier General John McMahon, the Army Corps of Engineers commander for the Northwest Division, which covers western Iowa. Grassley says he and McMahon will discuss the current flooding in western Iowa and the Corps' performance in anticipating and reacting to that flooding. Grassley says maybe the Corps is being called upon to do too much. He notes the flooding may have been beyond the Corps' control due to the heavy snowpack in the Rockies and some areas of Montana, getting an entire year's worth of rain in just a month's time this spring. A state office opened by former Governor Chet Colbert to help Iowa recover from historic flooding and damaging storms in 2008 is closing its doors. The Rebuild Iowa office will close tomorrow after lawmakers declined to extend the office's June 2011 sunset date. Colver created the office by executive order in the aftermath of floods, storms, and tornadoes that impacted 40,000 Iowans, and lawmakers formerly established the office in 2009. The office says it has helped to address long-term recovery needs in areas such as housing, infrastructure, and emergency management, and secure more than $4.3 billion in disaster relief funding. Its role was to coordinate statewide recovery efforts. The Iowa Homeland Security and Emergency Management Division will take on some of its functions. Majority Democrats in the Iowa Senate have approved six spending measures in an effort to reach a deal with House Republicans and Governor Terry Branstad. With a little debate on Tuesday, Democrats approved spending measures paying for programs ranging from transportation to economic development. Most bills pass with a bare minimum of 26 votes and with little debate. Democrats hold a 26-24 majority in the Senate. Late in the day, Senate leaders broke off debate and left for a private bargaining session with Branstad. Earlier, Branstad told reporters that Democrats' spending plans wasn't acceptable, but he appreciated that they were moving closer to his proposals. Branstad is seeking deeper cuts in business property taxes, and he wants changes in how Democrats want to fund Medicaid. Democrats will take up more budgets today. And one of the Republican presidential hopefuls will make her a run official in Iowa next week, Jesse Gavin reports.
Minnesota Congressman Michelle Bachmann will be in Waterloo on Monday to officially announce her candidacy for president. Officials within Bachmann's campaign confirmed the announcement to the Huffington Post on Tuesday night. Bachmann was born in Waterloo and lived in the Cedar Valley until her family moved to Minnesota when she was 12. Details of her announcement, including the location of the event, are not yet known but are expected to be released later today or tonight. Bachmann joins a crowded Republican field that already includes former Massachusetts governor and presumed frontrunner Mitt Romney, as well as fellow Minnesotan Tim Pawlenty. I'm Jesse Gavin.
And finally in the news from around the region, the 35th annual Women's Air Race Classic has been scheduled for takeoff today in Alliance, Nebraska. Kayleen Jensen of Heartland Aviation in Alliance says weather and other issues forced the race to start in Alliance instead of in Iowa City, Iowa. Jensen says stops in Brookings and Spearfish, South Dakota, Jamestown, North Dakota, and Rawlins, Wyoming have been eliminated as well. More than 100 women operating 50 aircraft will be taking off from the Alliance Airport beginning at noon Mountain Daylight Time today. You may recall in 2009, Atlantic served as the terminus or endpoint of the race that began that year in Denver, Colorado. The race was won by pilots Kelly Burris of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Aaron Recke of Seattle, Washington, and a Beechcraft Debonair. More information is available at www.airraceclassic.org. And taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, President Barack Obama is expected to bring 10,000 U.S. troops home from Afghanistan by the end of the year and set a target of recalling 20,000 additional forces by the end of 2012. He'll be announcing his plans in a speech to the nation this evening. The 20,000 additional service members represent the surge troops that Obama ordered to Afghanistan as part of his 2009 decision to send reinforcements to reverse the Taliban's battlefield momentum. The newest Republican presidential candidate says the Obama administration is pulling troops from Afghanistan too slowly. John Huntsman tells NBC that we can probably be a little more aggressive about withdrawing troops from the area. He says what we need now is a healthy dose of nation building here at home. And stocks are falling today on opening trading on Wall Street ahead of the Fed Reserve's decision on interest rates. Economists expect the central bank to keep their rates at record low levels. In Greece, meanwhile, the government yesterday narrowly won a confidence vote that may help it win austerity measures needed to secure more emergency loans. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is down just about 11 points. And in our funeral announcements, 78-year-old Shirley Davis of Avoca died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Shirley Davis will be this morning at 11 o'clock at the United Church of Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. 92-year-old Marvin Westfall of Fontenelle died Sunday. Funeral services for Marvin Westfall will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. 102-year-old Floyd Sherburn, who's formerly of Guthrie Center, died June the 12th in Georgia. Funeral services for Floyd Sherburn will be on Friday at 1 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. 77-year-old Glenn Rokoltz of Greenfield and formerly of Adair died May the 25th. Graveside services and burial for Glenn Rokoltz will be Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Canby Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. 63-year-old Greg Barnett of Atlantic died Saturday in Elkhorn. Visitation with the family of Greg Barnett will be next Monday from 10:30 until 11:30 a.m. at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. 88-year-old Lavona Brown of Des Moines and formerly of the Atlantic and Audubon areas died Sunday. There are no services planned for Lavona Brown. Roland Funeral Home is assisting with the arrangements. And 94-year-old Isla Knudsen of Harlan died Sunday. Funeral services for Isla Knudsen are currently pending at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. That is a check of the news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.